broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
We saw the toys strewn around the parking lot.
Yeah, they did quite a bit of sorting because what they left behind were all the younger.
I want Nancy Reagan to die, but before she dies, I want the woman to suffer.
We've taken procedures since this happened.
From a basket.
That is a threat on the radio.
They'll bring another couple home with them. That would be fun.
World famous Phil Hendry Show here every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. On the way through the looking glass and beyond, going places where the talk shows wish they could, but they can't, because truth is our bitch on this show. Now, coming up tonight here in this hour, Robert Greene from Fraser Foods will join us to discuss the tradition of mistletoe and what they have done to revive a lot of these traditions for Christmas. Because there is a little bit of a backlash against the rolling back of Christmas being the raison of celebration. People say there's not everybody celebrates Christmas. Not everybody is a believer in God. Not everybody is Jewish. So on and so forth. Why do we have to make it religious and so on? So Mr. Greene will be with us. Also coming up tonight in our news hour with Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman, we have the AP Entertainer of the Year Award that was announced. The cast of Glee, James Cameron, Betty White, they were all nominated. We'll tell you who. And then a program note here from the Phil Hendry Show. On Thursday night, the 23rd, as we take Christmas Eve off on this show, and we are back the day after New Year's, on Thursday night, though, we will reprise Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol from last year. If you didn't hear it, you will get to hear it this year. And it's a cast of thousands. Well, it's a cast of a lot. And it is an hour long. And we'll do it in the last hour of our show on Thursday night. Phil Hendry's Christmas Carol, starring me as Bob Cratchit. I'll talk about it with Bud when we come up with the news hour here. But I think Bud is Scrooge. If I'm not mistaken. So we will reprise that for you coming up on Thursday night. 877-876-PHIL is our number here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show and the tradition of mistletoe. I just had a story, and I just wanted to read a little bit of this because I'm just not up on this stuff. And, you know, some of it is interesting. Some of it ain't so interesting. The mistletoe thing is kind of a kick because where did that go? I mean, where did that start and where's it going? You know, or is it going anywhere? Do people do it anymore? You know, for instance, kissing under the mistletoe, according to, well, our you know, the ever-present Wikipedia, is first found associated with the Greek festival of Saturnalia and later with primitive marriage rites. They probably originated from two beliefs. One belief was that it had the power to bestow fertility, and it also was believed that the dung, that is the fertilizer, from which the mistletoe grew, would also possess life-giving power. And Bob Greene is joining us here from Fraser Foods, and I understand you're giving away mistletoe at Fraser Foods as a way of, you say, bringing back the spirit of Christmas?
That is correct, Bill, and thank you for having us on. Fraser Foods, always appreciative of being able to let our customers, our neighbors, and everybody know that this year Christmas is going to be Christmas at Fraser Foods. We understand that there has been a conflict in society at large over whether we even celebrate Christmas anymore, but we do at Fraser Foods, and the mistletoe for us represents the warmth of friendship, the love. It represents family. It represents the, I guess, our ability and our willingness to get together, and the boundaries sort of drop, and we enjoy each other at Christmas time. To that end, we have brought it back not only in store but for our employees as well.
So you have a Christmas, you have a mistletoe in the store?
Well, we just have an archway over a aisle where our Christmas specialty foods are, a lot of the delicacies and stuffings and you name it, different kinds of vinegars, different kinds of condiments that you'd use at Christmas. We have an archway, and there's a mistletoe hanging there. So if a customer is standing under it, then we reenact or enact the tradition of mistletoe. For our employees, same thing. We have it in our break room, mistletoe, and we have it in the hallway leading to our offices. So nobody gets away with anything, Phil.
Do you ever get into a problem with employees or even customers, I suppose, who would say, I don't really do that. I don't believe in Christmas, you know, even though it is kind of a pagan thing, isn't it?
Well, that pagan thing, I heard you mention it, and it's a Christmas tradition. When you mention pagan, you're taking Christmas out of it.
Isn't it true, though, that the entire reason why there's any celebration at all at Christmas time is because, and I'm not saying that the Christian, the birth of Jesus is not not common. It's not a real thing. Jesus was born and Jesus lived, and you can believe that. But did they not move his birth to wintertime because it was when pagan cultures celebrated their winter solstice?
Well, I don't know anything about that, Bill. It could very well be true. I just don't want people thinking that we're celebrating a pagan thing.
No, of course not. Of course not. It's been adapted and embraced by Western culture as a Christian. But there are people that are Wiccan or whatever you want to call it.
Well, I know that a lot of the you mentioned the atheists. They like to say that they're going to celebrate the holidays, and there's no such thing because the pagans are. I don't know anything about that, but. To me, mistletoe, when you stand under the mistletoe, that's symbolic of Christmas. And I see my employees as, I see my employees really as my children. I'm the father, and then they are my children, and it's not quite that way, but it's a paternal relationship that I have with them, so that when a young lady is under the mistletoe, and she is, or if it's an older woman, of course, you're going to be more respectful. And generally what I'll do with my older employees, I'll kiss her hand.
Well, that's nice.
Yes, it's very genteel, I guess they tell me. I don't know. If it's a younger woman, then I'll let her kiss me on the cheek. When I say younger woman, probably a woman in her 50s, I'll let her kiss me on the cheek. And if it's a woman younger than that, I'll kiss her on the cheek. And only when we have a very, very young employee, like one who is 18 or older, then we will kiss on the lips.
You don't have a problem with that?
I don't have any problem with it.
But I mean, do the employees? I don't know.
I think everybody here at Fraser Foods, Bill, as I said, we're like a family. You know, when I say I'm the father, I know it's unusual for a father to kiss his daughter on the lips, but in that instance, that makes sense because I've already kissed an older woman I've allowed her to kiss me on the cheek. The real old lady, you kiss on the hand, and so forth. This tradition, Phil, of kissing under the mistletoe did come from, I'm reading right now, some kind of pagan festivity, but then it evolved into Christianity.
You're a store, a grocery store, and you're very proactive. I know, Bob, at holiday time, you do things that express the feeling and philosophy of the company. And you're very out there with your belief that Christmas should be celebrated. So have you had any pushback from Jewish customers, from Muslim customers?
None at all. None.
Really?
None at all. None. And you know what I think my Jewish customers, my Muslim customers, you know what I think they think? I think they think, oh, I'm shopping in a Christian man's store. And so that's what happens here. As long as I give them the quality that they have come to expect from Fraser Foods, my Jewish customers and my Muslim customers, they don't care. You get a little bit of a problem from people, they don't call themselves atheists, but they call themselves civil libertarian. I'll give you an example. When I saw this young girl who works for Stephanie standing under the mistletoe, I said, okay, Stephanie, and I had everybody clapping, it's time for the kiss, and I, you know, put my arm around her, and she tried to move her face away a little bit, but I held it and I kissed her on the lips. Now, and
you sort of held her in place.
Well, I'd like you to listen to what I'm saying. She's one of these civil libertarians where she thinks that you can't. It's too religious, you know.
And so she didn't want to kiss under the mistletoe because of its
affiliation with religion. And I told her, no, at Fraser Foods, this is our custom. And it's Christmas. At what point do you say openly, I don't like Christmas, and I don't like God, and I don't like Jesus? I mean, are you really, even if you're an atheist, you're not going to come out and say that. And I said to this Stephanie, I said, if you're into the mistletoe again, I'd like you to show your fellow employees and me that at least you're a sport.
You all right? So you, this young lady stood under the mistletoe and didn't want to kiss you because she was a
civil libertarian. She doesn't believe in the Christmas spirit. But if you're under the mistletoe, it is Christmas tradition in our store that if you are female, one of four things: either you get kissed on the hand, you get to kiss me on the cheek, I kiss you on the cheek, or we kiss on the lips.
How old is this young lady?
I'm not going to get into that. She was young, and I'm 46. And if I get into ages, then I think you're going to have some people in your audience, Phil. I know you're very fair, but your audience, just like in the store, there's a lot of pains in the ass, if you'll excuse my language, that are going to call in and call me different names.
Well, has this happened before? Our number, by the way, is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. I'm talking here with Robert Green from Fraser Foods about this mistletoe that they have in their store, and they have it for the employees, and they have it for the customers. How do you get around any kind of sexual harassment issue if someone refuses to kiss you on the lips or on the cheek?
Well, again, it's not sexual harassment because we're just trying to keep the tradition alive, and we're doing everything we can, and you've got to go to drastic measures. It's harmless to ask a woman who's standing under the mistletoe, you're under the mistletoe, would you at least have the common decency of adhering to this tradition? And that is to kiss the man that sees you on the mouth.
Well, you're not the only guy that these women are kissing.
No, not at all. We've got other male employees. I would prefer that it were me because it would then not get into sexual harassment issues. If it was other men, then it would. But I think you're bringing these things up. I think it clouds the holiday. And
I'm just asking you because, well, you know, the times we're living in, Bob.
Oh, believe me, I get it.
But, you know, the times we're living in is that everybody is so happy. But at your store, you do not have an issue with the celebration of Christmas. Your customers are okay, and people are all right with you kissing the female customer or the female, you know, employees.
Well, the female employees, when you say they don't have a problem with it, but they're going to, the tradition is that you kiss on the lips, and we are adhering to the mistletoe tradition. And so it's really not about are they okay with it. This is a store that I own.
But, you see,
it's a mistletoe tradition, Phil. See, the sexual harassment thing is out the window. Out the window.
All right, 877-876-PHIL. I always wondered about that, too, whether at Christmas time, sexual harassment could be cited if you're kissing under the mistletoe at work. Robert Green has mistletoe in the work area for his employees. He has mistletoe in the store for the customers. And they kiss when he kisses his customers and his employees if they're under the mistletoe. 877-876-PHIL. Bob Green takes your calls at 877-876-PHIL. And next hour, the news hour with Bud Dickman and Robert Leonard here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
It's the Phil Hendry Show.
And answer your question, no, I don't kiss guys.
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
From Fraser Foods, Robert Green, the CEO, we're talking about Christmas time employee relations with in the workplace, everywhere. But at Fraser Foods, they have mistletoe, which is a traditional kind of decoration for Christmas. And there is an obvious Christmas overtone to the celebration you do there, Bob. You don't make it happy holiday or anything else. I understand that. So we're talking about standing under the mistletoe and kissing. Now, you're kissing employees and you're kissing customers.
Well, you know, Phil, we wanted to talk about the tradition of Christmas. What you're doing is you're turning this into a discussion of legalese, and I don't want to do that.
No, I'm just wondering how you deal with it.
Well, let me explain it this way, and this may be something that your audience needs to understand this as well, because I imagine that most of them don't. There is an inherent social contract When you stand under a mistletoe, it's expected for you to receive a kiss. This is a legal term, and none of my current employees have a problem with it. When you ask about if we had a problem, we had a parting with one woman who claimed that I had held her head with both hands. I had. Why did I do that? Because she didn't know she was under the mistletoe. She was talking to somebody, and I said, you're under the mistletoe. And she was ignoring me, so I grabbed her head with both hands, kissed her, and I had to get to a meeting. She is no longer with us because she made some comment.
Did she legally go after you?
I don't recall. What I do recall was that she made some comment to someone in the ladies' room, in the ladies' bathroom.
How did you know that?
Because we are... It is our business to know what's being said. And that's as far as I want to go with that. But we don't have the problem that you're talking about. The inherent social contract is you're a woman, you're standing under mistletoe, whether you're a customer or whether you are an employee, and you got to kiss me. That's really the social contract. That there really is no discussion other than some of these civil libertarians I was telling you about.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-PHIL. You just heard Bob talking about the tradition of mistletoe at Fraser Foods. Here is Eric in Winston-Salem. Go ahead, Eric. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yeah. Bob, you are a sick individual.
Yes,
first of all,
why,
you should have never held, you should have never held
kiss
that girl.
I'm sick.
You should have never held
you,
that girl.
You don't like kissing girls?
There if he did not want to be kissed. If you would have done that in North Carolina, what you would have got was a old-fashioned Tar Heel butt-kicking, which means I would have punched the straight right between the eyes.
Because I kissed a girl, they probably want me to kiss the guys in North Carolina.
No, we do not kiss guys in North Carolina. I guarantee
you
one thing. If you did that here in this state right here, you're going to get punched right in the face.
I'd be elected governor. You're threatening the guy physically,
so you don't really have any. You can't stay on air. Here's Ken on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Ken.
Well, after you sexually assault the young lady, does she still visit your establishment?
After I sexually assaulted you, what happened?
After you sexually assaulted the young lady. Does she continue to visit your establishment?
I didn't sexually assault anyone. I didn't sexually assault anyone. Get off it. Get off
it.
We're talking about you.
When you on her, does she continue to visit your establishment?
She was an employee.
And she continues to work for you?
No.
And I thought not.
No, she doesn't.
Because if that had been my wife, employee or not, I had your head. I mean, you don't put yourself on somebody.
No, you wouldn't. You can't do that. You can't do that to me. I've got more money than you.
The same reason why you couldn't sit up there and force yourself on her. There's perverts like you that want to use Christmas time as an excuse to get your jocks off, but yet you got friendly young women who try to work for you to work for their kids and take care of home who got to deal with perverts like that. I don't think that's
pervert.
Right, man.
So you don't believe you don't believe in Christmas. You don't believe in Christmas, and you don't believe in mistletoe, and
man,
we do.
You to use father, you to use head of household, and all that, and talking about kissing young women under the age of 30 or whatever the case is in the mouth, but I'm going to respect everybody else. I mean, come on, man. You're a pervert. You know you're a pervert.
At what point did you give up on Christmas and the traditions of Christmas? I'm
kidding.
I'm
all for Christmas.
Mistletoe.
I'm all for Christmas, man. I'm
okay,
all for
and you know
Christmas.
What mistletoe is. You know what mistletoe is.
The mistletoe is of a willing participant, man. Of a willing participant. You don't force yourself off on somebody because, oh, there's a mistletoe. I get to go ahead and do what I want with her. No, man, you don't do no. Man, come on,
wait
now.
A minute, what makes, you know, first of all, you're telling me that this was, the women didn't want it. In the case of this one woman, how come. If she didn't want it, I did put my tongue in her mouth, but she responded.
Wait a minute. Wait a minute. You put your tongue in her mouth.
But she responded.
I hope that all your employees are listening to this call and understand that it is against the law for you to force yourself on them. If they don't realize that, hopefully after today, they will.
You're way off base, sir. Way off base.
All right, look at no, I don't think so. Ken, thank you for your caller. Number 877-876-PHIL. What is this thing about putting the tongue in the mouth?
I did not put my tongue in her mouth until I thought that she put hers in mine. But I'm talking about mistletoe. I'm very offended that I've got to talk about talk to people calling me a pervert. I did not come on this program to be called names, Phil.
And hold on, Robert. We will get back to you. 877-876-PHIL. Mistletoe.
Phil Hendry. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. On the line is Robert Green from Fraser Foods. The other question I didn't ask you, Bob, at Christmas time here, a lot of customers, right? Oh, we don't have him. Let me just get him up on the line. I'm sorry, Bob.
I was answering a question, Phil.
Go ahead.
We've got customers at Christmas time. They are, in my opinion, people that appreciate the holidays, people that appreciate the traditional religious view of a holiday. That's what I'm trying to bring back. And what I've gotten here tonight from your audience is the face of America right now, and that is they don't like you doing that.
What I heard here are people who are on the line talking about not wanting a woman kissed.
I understand that, but the problem that we've got is that Christmas time is a traditionally religious time, and so therefore we need to see it as such, bring back the traditions as such, bring back the way we celebrate it as such, and not give it over to secular people. When I use the mistletoe in my store to kiss my employees and to kiss my customers, I am Robert Green, the CEO of a grocery store, standing alone against this tide of a non-religious celebration of the holidays. I don't feel as if I've got anyone backing me up. As you can see tonight, I've been insulted every which way. But I believe at Christmas we have to uphold these traditions. That's what we've attempted to do.
Well, tonight you've been hearing from men who are saying...
I've heard men call me a pervert because I want to kiss a woman under the mistletoe. For the very first time, this country is now sinking to that low where you call a guy names because guys see sex in everything. And even if it's an innocent kiss under the mistletoe, men are going to think they're going to be sexually threatened by that. Now, that's pretty sad. Well, I can tell you, Phil, that it is my belief... that the religious aspects of Christmas are going to be reinforced at Fraser Foods.
But all right, okay. That having been said, the mistletoe is a place where you are grabbing. You grab that one woman with two hands.
I grabbed her with two hands because she didn't know she was under the mistletoe.
You grabbed her head with two hands.
That's correct. Yes.
And then you kissed her on the lips.
That is correct.
And next thing you know, she's not working there anymore.
That is correct. All of those things are true. None of them have anything to do with me. They all have to do with her and her reaction to the workplace, which I don't want to get into. But the fact is, and I do the same thing with customers. But I don't do it with all customers. You're not listening to me when I tell you, when I have an older customer, an old woman, I don't kiss her on the lips. I give her the respect she is due. I give all women respect. I give all women respect.
Well, then why, if a woman is due respect, why is it the young ones get a kiss on the lips and the old ones do not? They get a kiss on the hand or whatever it is.
Well, because of the fact that there is a comfort level for me as well. And, Mike, you know, you're asking me...
Why is it, if you want to give respect to all women, the old women are kissed on the hand, the young women kissed on the mouth?
Because there is a level of comfort for me that has to be observed. Because I run the company, And you know, it's really funny, Phil. If people don't want to be kissed, why do they stand under the mistletoe? You know?
Well, some people may be standing there by mistake.
No, you're not standing there by mistake.
But the question still holds. Why is it that some women are kissed on the hands and the other ones are kissed on the lips?
I am not comfortable kissing an old woman on the lips because out of respect for her. Out of respect for her.
Not out of, you said a comfort level for you.
Yes, a comfort level for me and respect for her. She, to be respectful, you don't want to kiss, and you're not going to have a makeout with an old woman, and I wouldn't want to.
Well, who says it's a makeout? See, this is the problem I think you're getting into, right?
Well,
no, when you have a woman standing under the mistletoe and you kiss her on the lips, and she wants to be kissed on the lips, it's probably a very delicate and very chaste and very respectful kiss on the lips, if that's what she wants. But when you say a makeout scene, you know...
Well, how else do you... Are you kidding? How else do you kiss somebody on the lips? You got to put your arms around them, and you got to go into a... I don't understand what you're saying.
What are you talking about, a makeout scene? So you got an old lady there.
You are going at it.
With an old woman.
I wouldn't do that with an old woman. For my own personal comfort. What you've done and what this program has done is...
Well, I'm sorry if it makes you uncomfortable, Robert, okay? But this was something we had to have answered. You got an employee that's out the door. You know,
and we had an employee at the door because I grabbed her face and I.
Robert Green from Fraser Foods. Good luck. 877-876 Phil. Next hour, we got Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman with our news hour and who's AP's entertainer of the year. Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Listening to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Not for long, it ain't. 877-876-PHIL. And we have Robert Leonard and Bud Dickman next hour, the news hour. Coming up on Thursday night, probably not a minute too soon, we're going to have our reprise of Phil's Christmas Carol from last year. So that ought to just burn up a good hour, and I think you'll enjoy it. Check us out at, the last hour of the show. That's midnight West Coast. That'd be 3 a.m. on the East Coast for Phil's Christmas Carol, and that's right here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. And our website is philhendryshow.com. Right now we have our shop up, and the Phil Hendry Shop has the best of CDs for 97 through 2005. Check them all out if you have a chance over at philhendryshow.com. And if you want to buy one, two, three, or all of them, you can do that too. It's a pretty good Christmas gift for the Phil Hendry fan or the prospective Phil Hendry fan in your family. That's philhendryshow.com, and that is our shop, our merchandise shop. And we've got a couple of other things we're going to be introducing there. Over the next, probably over the next month or so. So our reprise of the broadcast of A Christmas Carol, head on over to philhendryshow.com. Get a backstage pass, too, and you can look at the live streaming video and listen to live streaming audio of this just marvelous radio show. 877-876-PHIL. So what else is happening in the news? Well, a guy that wrote a book about pedophilia has been arrested, and he's been put in jail. Now, was that going to be a surprise? I don't think so. The Colorado man who sparked a firestorm of controversy with his self-published pedophile guide on Amazon has been arrested on obscenity charges. Officials with the Polk County, Florida. Why do these guys all wind up in Florida is just the first question of many that I have. Anyway, officials with the Polk County, Florida Sheriff's Office said today that they worked with law enforcement in Pueblo, Colorado to arrest Philip R. Graves, 47, author of the electronic book, The Pedophile's Guide to Love. I'm not even going to read to you the title of this thing because it makes me want to vomit. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd, and if that ain't a sheriff, I don't know what is. Polk County Sheriff Grady Judd said his office obtained a warrant for Graves' arrest after the author mailed a signed copy of the book to undercover detectives. Are you kidding me, man? They asked for a signed copy? They wanted the author's signature, yeah. To undercover detectives, giving them jurisdiction, Graves has been charged with distribution of obscene material depicting minors engaged in harmful conduct. If you want to put it that, I mean, that's putting it mildly. Oh, God, that's disgusting. And let me ask you something, Amazon. Why do we not have a Amazon audio? Well, in any event, let me ask Amazon something. Why do you even put that garbage in your store? Anybody got any idea? You know, I know you guys are in a real rush to make money. I know that it's just there. Times are wasting, and you have got to get out there and make hay while the sun shines, and it's a bad economy. And, I mean, you will squeeze the last dollar out of anything, but you really ought to have somebody on your website or your online store or whatever it is that you call it and have someone standing there maybe vetting some of this stuff. You think? I know they finally removed it, but not before, I don't know, how much did this guy, he sold enough to have people wanting an autograph for it? Good God. Anyway, Judd, who's the cop, said the book was outrageous, that someone would pen a how-to manifesto. Well, you're a cop. Thank you very much, sir, for your opinion. We just want people arrested. We appreciate that you have an opinion. You're a private citizen. You're entitled to it, but your opinion is your opinion. And what I want, the opinion of the jackballs that published this thing, the opinion of the people at Amazon, and the opinions of anybody that bought it. I thought the book was outrageous, he said. Then Greaves will be booked into county jail in Pueblo, but Grady said his office is seeking extradition to Florida. Amazon pulled the book after customer complaints because Amazon was too stupid to know they were even selling it. Amazon was too stupid to know they were even selling a book, a how-to on child molestation. That's how on top of everything you guys are at Amazon. Although I have to tell you, there may be something to it, Amazon. I mean, you guys just throw anything up there in the world. You could become the Craigslist of online bookstores. At the time, the author told ABCNews.com that his critics are misunderstanding the point of the book. No, nobody misunderstands it, you sick bastard. So there's that. All right, what's next, man? Entertainer of the year? What is it, bud?
Yeah, we get that. What a Saturday Night Live.
Saturday Night Live?
Or I mean AP Entertainer of the Year.
AP Entertainer of the Year. She had a year going from, who is this? Oh, yeah, she had a year going from Saturday Night Live to AP Entertainer to the Super Bowl. AP Entertainer of the Year is Betty White. And there you go. I don't know where the story is, man. Why don't you send me the story there, Ace, instead of giving me the headline, okay? The FCC is poised to adopt network neutrality. This network neutrality is the worst story, the most boring story in the history of the world, man. All right, here it is. After a year of Saturday Night Live to the Super Bowl, Betty White voted AP Entertainer of the Year. What Betty White did in 2010 doesn't usually happen. An 88-year-old actress with more than six decades in Hollywood suddenly becomes the object of adulation of the Facebook-connected masses, which campaigned for her to host Saturday Night Live, boosting the show's image and helping her set ratings records. After a remarkable year for a star of any age, which has been voted the Entertainer of the Year by members of the Associated Press. It's ridiculous, White says of the honor in an interview from her home in Los Angeles. They haven't caught on to me yet, and I hope they never do. But more than a claim, her unlikely age-defying success resonated deeply with people who saw in her a spirited, hilarious aberration, a woman not dimmed by age but enhanced by it. The genuine article in a pop culture awash in imitators. So that's great.
You a Betty White fan?
No, man, I'm not a Betty White fan. So that story's boring. God almighty. Good for you, Betty. That's great, but I could care less.
Yeah, but maybe you like Golden Girls and stuff.
That's great, man. I don't care. God, can we get some stories here that Phil likes? Anything, man. You know, I didn't anticipate that hour with, what's his name, Bob Green would stiff. Oh, here's the review that I was telling you guys about. Meet Little Fockers, the latest in Robert De Niro and Ben Stiller's comedy franchise. Grit your teeth, though, the fairly short, though agonizing duration of its stay. Apparently, this movie just stinks.
I don't know about it, man.
Well, it's the... it's called Little Fockers. And in this thing, apparently now they've had kids, they've had babies.
Yeah.
And the babies are born... And the in-laws come, and apparently it just stinks. Now, I thought the very first one they did, which was Meet the Parents, I thought that was funny as hell. The Fockers joke, F-O-C-K-E-R-S, which we would never be able to say.
No, but that's got an O.
No, but still, it doesn't make any difference. I would never be able to say that name. were it not for the fact that there is a movie with the characters named like that. Otherwise, they'd think I was being gratuitous, you know.
Well, you're being gratuitous about that word not even spelled that way.
Doesn't make any difference. Because there's a movie with a name in it spelled that way, I'm okay, man. I can't get in trouble. If there wasn't, if I say F-O-C-K-E-R-S, I say Fockers, just because I decided, like Phil Hendry created a family named Fockers, I'd be fired. But because a Hollywood writer did it, anyway. Meet the Parents, fantastic, funny. Then along comes Meet the Fockers, because that joke took off. So they said, that's the money. That's the money, man. Let's go. So they come out with Meet the Fockers. That movie sucked. Now, let me just tell you, Meet the Parents was good. So this guy here, this Germain jackass, you're wrong, Mr. Germain, about the first movie was great. So you're wrong about that. The second movie, you're right, stunk. And the third movie, I ain't seen yet, but you're probably right. It probably stinks, too. The first one was funny as hell. He goes on to rip this flick. He says that De Niro and Stiller were paid a lot of money. Barbara Streisand got a lot of money. Owen Wilson, Jessica Alba. Dustin Hoffman didn't want to do the movie, but when they said, here's the check, he said, okay. He showed up. And it's basically now the same crap that they did in the second movie, which is the, you know, the difference between the two in-laws. One set of in-laws is weird-ass. The other, well, they're both sets of in-laws.
Well, I mean, like, one of them is like a hippie or something, right? And the other one, like a CIA?
Yeah, well, the girl's parents are, no, his parents, Fokker's parents are weird hippy-dippy, or whatever the hell that is, and her parents are straight-laced, yeah.
Yes, that's a conflict of interest, or whatever they call it.
It's dramatic tension, and it still didn't work. He says the jokes are lame, incredibly, including a terrible play on words involving the Godfather, and, okay, so don't go see it, man. There it is. In Houston, Texas, there was a loaded gun that made it into the airport. You ready for that? Houston businessman Fareed Saif. Yeah, I'll bet he is.
Yeah, that, see, right there, man, they should have done a special security check on his name.
Yeah, they can't do it on account of that be profiling.
You're right. They couldn't do it. Fareed Saif says it was startling. It was a startling discovery. He didn't intend to bring a loaded gun on a flight out of Houston, and he can't understand how TSA screeners didn't catch it. Yeah, Roger. Nearing the height of this year's Christmas travel season, TSA screeners at Bush International Airport somehow missed a loaded pistol that was tucked away inside a carry-on computer bag. A loaded pistol.
Are you thinking he did it on purpose?
I'm not saying that he did it on purpose. Here's what I'm saying. There's a lot of people that would say he's lying. There's a lot of people who would say, were his name not Fareed Saif. Let's say his name was Bob Lewis. They'd say he was lying. In other words, it doesn't matter what he is, who he is, where he's from, or how he got the way that he is. There's a lot of people that would say the guy's a liar, that he knew that the gun was in there and that the guy is lying, saying that he didn't. And I may be one of them, but not because the cat's name is Fareed Saif, but because the guy just may be a scumbag. That's what I'm saying. But you can't certainly do a profile on this guy because of his name. That would mean that he was a Muslim and he's Arab, and you don't want to do that because that would put you into a whole world of hurt. If you looked at the cat and said, well, traditionally, you know, the hijackers of late have all been of some sort of Arab or Muslim persuasion, well, then you might say, let's take a look at this guy, but you can't do that. If you would take a look at this guy, then maybe they would have found the gun.
Yeah, but he said that the TSA should have found it.
If they did a special, you know what I'm talking about, a special security screening?
Yeah, I'll take your bag and look at it. And if your name is Saif or something like that, they can't do it. All they're going to do is they just kind of suspect you and everything like that.
In other words, man, it's like if you go to Mexico and you're trying to get in through customs, they have to push a button. And if you got a green light, you can come through. If you have a red light, you got to, you know, they got to check your bag. It's not based on anything. It's completely random. That's how they do it. Or at least that's how they did it in Mexico. And that's what we want to do here in the United States. We're sort of basing it on the Mexican system, except we've had a terrorist attack with 3,000 people dead. So we're sort of using an outdated system. Nonetheless, he says he couldn't understand how TSA didn't spot this bag. He said, I mean, it's not a small gun. It's a .40 caliber. Saif says it was an accident, which he didn't realize until he arrived at his destination. He says he carries the Glock for protection, but forgot to remove it from his bag. He reported the incident as soon as he landed, shocked at the security lapse.
Well, see, that man, he reported it, man. He wanted everybody to know.
Uh-huh.
Well, you don't believe it?
No, I don't. No, I don't. There's nothing else in there. How can you miss it? You cannot miss it. Authorities tell ABC News the incident is not uncommon. How do I know that this jackass even had the gun in the bag? Maybe he got it from somebody else. The whole reason I'm bringing all this stuff up is this guy I don't buy. I'm telling you right now. I don't believe it, not for a second.
Yeah, but what is he going to have a gun in there for?
Maybe he put it in there to embarrass him. Maybe he put it in there as maybe as one of them trial runs, you know?
Oh, yeah, like they were testing it out.
Are you crazy? That's not going to do nothing.
Maybe not. KTRK's aviation security expert Jim Conway says screeners have a demanding job and are susceptible to fatigue. Get out of here. Look, this is simply human error, Conway said. When something like this happens, it's human error. I mean, these folks are doing the best job they can. Saif and others say that's not good enough, not when lives are on the line. Look at this, man. The Saif guy's got himself. He's like one of the he's like one of the real people. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show. Or not.